Turn with me to James chapter 2. The book of James chapter 2. And we are going to begin reading at verse 14. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for such a wonderful worship service this morning. Our hearts are enriched by the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives in such a great way. Lord, open our hearts to continue to worship you in the Word. And Lord, help us to receive what you have for the church today in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Yeah, let's read a little further. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Notice there, by faith, by work, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. All right, praise the Lord. This has always been difficult for me to get my head around, even though I know what it says. When you read much of Paul's epistles, it's all just about faith alone. It's about being justified by faith. It's about believing God, accounted to him as righteousness. And I get that. And so when I see this and I couple it with verses that said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. One might say, well, these two thoughts are diametrically opposed to each other. But James is not saying that you're saved by works. He's saying that genuine faith will have works tied to it. You know, when Abraham believed God, he offered his son Isaac. There was a physical event that showed that he really believed God, right? And I think sometimes we've all been guilty of saying that we have faith and yet not really having faith as much as we thought, because our actions are diametrically opposed to what we are saying, right? And so let me just take you through some scriptures I have written down this morning that might make this thought a little clearer. Flip back to the Gospel of Luke, if you would. And this is a familiar passage in Luke 18. I have to say, Luke 18, for some reason in my life, has been my chapter. God continually speaks to me through Luke 18. There are so many things in Luke 18 that when you read it on the surface, but the more you study it, the more you glean from it. And this is, of course, a familiar passage. The parable of what is called the persistent widow. Luke 18, verse 1, he spoke a parable to them. And remember, parables, Jesus spoke in parables because parables help you get outside yourself. If you think about some circumstance about relative to yourself, you don't always get it, but it's always easier to judge another man than judge ourselves, isn't it? And so we see the story about some other guy or some other person. You know, that's what Nathan the prophet did with David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. This other guy had a sheep that he loved, right? And David's all, yeah, you know, but then David, you're the guy, you know. So it's a whole lot easier to judge someone else. This is why Jesus spoke in parables. So he's speaking this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint or to lose heart. This is the parable. There was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God or regard man. And then there was this widow in the city. And she came to him saying, get justice for me and my adversary. From my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And so, you know, in the natural, here's this judge who doesn't fear God, who could care less. He probably takes bribes. This woman's a widow. She can't bribe him. He don't really care about her plight. And yet she keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. And though he really doesn't care about her and she can't bribe him, he's tired of hearing it. So he gives her whatever she wants. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them? And that, though he bear long with them, mean he doesn't answer their prayer request the first time, right? Lord, I've been asking you this, and I don't see anything happening. Now, what kind of person, I've heard someone say one time, well, you shouldn't have to ask more than once, otherwise it's unbelief. And in reality, this parable says exactly the opposite of that, doesn't it? It says, if you really believe, you will keep asking. And then he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now listen to this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, years ago when I read this, I thought this was all about prayer. And it's actually not about prayer. It's about faith. Because faith keeps asking. Everybody can pray, but can you pray until heaven is shaken? Can you pray until God gets tired of hearing it and gives you what you want? Because, you know, it starts out that Jesus taught this parable that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Well, what is lose heart? It's doubt. It's give up. It's quit, which is the opposite of faith. So inside this beautiful little parable about prayer is a statement at the beginning about not giving up, not losing faith, and the statement, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he? Will he find faith in you? What is your prayer life like? It's not about your prayer life, it's about your faith. Because faith without what? Works is dead. So I see then that works in my life, prayer is the work that comes from my faith. You get it? All right. Now let's go on down to verse 9. Another parable. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithe all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So you get these two guys. Now, the first mistake the Pharisee made is he's judging the world. You know, I've said before, the church has it backwards. We're to judge the church and love the world. Yet so many people make judgmental comments about homosexuals who are doing what they do, They're sinners, just like you and I were, right? We make judgmental calls about all these other things when the church should be the object of being judged, not the world. Otherwise, we're just like the Pharisee. But then this tax collector, who were dirty, rotten scoundrels. They were cheats, and they knew it. At least this guy did. He is not so much as raising his eyes to heaven, but he's beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How many sinners are going to make it to heaven? Every one of them that asks God for mercy. How many religious people are going to make it to heaven? None of them, because they're trusting in themselves, right? I tell you, he said, that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, in this parable, we're talking again about faith and works, right? And you might say, well, the Pharisee has exemplified his faith by the fact that he's fasting and is doing all these things. And this other cheating tax collector, he's a sinner. He's not fasting. He's not doing all these religious acts. So how does this work? Well, here's how it works. And Jesus told us again right at the beginning, in case we don't get it, the text says about those who trusted in what? Themselves, right? So we understand that faith and works go together, but the object of my faith has to be Jesus and not me, right? Because if my works are the things I am justified by, then I am in the category of the Pharisee. So I have faith in God, and my works exemplify my faith, but the object of my faith is not what I do, but who I know, right? And so the object of our faith can never be ourselves. Now, flip back to Romans chapter 10. We're going to just flip through some verses. This makes you guys, me not get ahead of you and me not have 12 pages of notes that I'm reading. So we'll just read Romans together. You might get there quicker than me. It's a little hard to do this one-handed sometimes with a microphone. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of the preacher. No, the word of God. Hopefully the preacher's giving you the Word of God, but the Word of God, right? That's what we call our Bible. This is the Word of God. Now, you know, obviously you can spiritualize it and say, well, Jesus was the Word and all this, but okay, but you know what? Some people say, I wish God would speak to me, and I say, well, how much time do you spend reading your Bible? Well, you know, I'm not as much as I used to. Well, there you go, right? I mean, God is not obligated to give you revelation knowledge if he's already said it once and you won't read it, right? Because you're lazy. Call it what it is. So, here's a work, right? If you really believe, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God, then you will read your Bible to get faith and to increase your knowledge of the Lord. Now, so this is not about reading the Bible. It's about faith. If you really believe that the Bible is the Word of God and faith comes by reading your Bible, then you will read your Bible. You say, well, I believe that. Then blow the dust off your Bible and read it. This is not a condemnation sermon. This is not a sermon about works. This is a sermon about faith. It's, do you really believe what you say? Because if you do, then the works will be exemplified by it. lately I haven't been in the Word as much as I'd like to be. So I'm not judging anybody. I'm preaching myself too. If I really believe that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, then I would be turning off the TV more and reading the Bible more, right? This is something, you know, Jesus is coming soon. This is basic 101 stuff, right? I won't ask you to turn there. I'll give you the reference. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that God is a rewarder of them that just think about seeking Him. No, that's not what it is. He's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. Again, diligently seeking the Lord is a work that is exemplified by our faith in Hebrews 11:6. That God will reward me if I diligently seek Him. Do you believe that? Yeah, I do. Well, do you diligently seek Him? Well, not as much as I should. Then you don't really believe it. See, that's everything James is saying. It's not about works. It's about, is your faith really faith? If it is, you will do things that you say you believe. And if you aren't doing what you say you believe, then maybe your faith is not as strong as you think it is. You can't say amen, say ouch, say something. I mean, I think this is good stuff. I think we all need to hear this, don't you? Now, Matthew 5:23, again, I won't ask you to read it or turn there. I'll just tell you, is where Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount about bringing your gift to the altar. And he says, when you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that someone else are crossways with one another. Well, we say it in Oklahoma, right? If you're crossways, if someone is offended with you, if you're not on good terms with someone, that God is more interested in you going and reconciling with that person than giving Him your gift. Right? Now, we don't know what the gift on the altar is. Of course, in Bible days, it might have been a pigeon or something. Today, it may be money, or it could be our time at the church. But the point is, God is more interested in your heart than your wallet. Amen? And so, he's saying that if you really have faith, then before you put money in the plate, you need to make sure your heart is right. You know, the Ten Commandments, four of them deal with our relationship with God, the vertical. Six of them deal with our relationship with our fellow man. Don't take your neighbor's wife, or his donkey, or his convertible. Not too many of us drive donkeys nowadays. And so God is more concerned with your relationship with man. And when the cross is a fixed axis, you never see a cross at kind of the cross pieces at a 45. It's always perpendicular. So when my relationship with my fellow man is teetered, my relationship with God is offset. And this is why Jesus said, get your relationship with man right, and your relationship with God will be right too. And so when you bring your gift to the altar, oh, praise the Lord, I'm sowing my seeds. God's going to give me a harvest. Why didn't God give me a harvest? Go get right with this guy. Go forgive that person. Go walk in love. You know, we are to walk in love within and without, the Bible says. That means in the church and even with the dirty, rotten sinners that are jerks to us, right? So there's a work for you to show your faith. There's a story in 2 Samuel 16 where David is on the lam after Absalom has tried to take over the kingdom. And this dude starts tossing rocks and calling them dirty dogs and names. Remember the story? And one of David's soldiers says, let me go over and run that guy through. Let me go kill him, David. And David said, we don't know that God didn't allow him to do this to punish us. For whatever reason, right? Now this guy is got it down. I mean, he is the devil's advocate. Because he is saying the reason Absalom has ran him out was because he's a bloody man who stole the kingdom from Saul, you know, even though David didn't. And then they just like the devil to twist circumstances and bring guilt on you. And so, I mean, he is piling on the guilt He's calling David a dog. He's saying he's got bloody hands, and this is why Absalom took the kingdom from you, because you stole it from Saul. And I mean, the more you hear that, the more you want to just go punch the guy out or say, yeah, go cut his head off, you know, the jerk. But David refuses to act on this attack against him. And he says, God, it may be that God will see my affliction from this guy and how I respond and have mercy on me. And you know, sometimes our relationships are always just this way. We forget that God is seeing everything that's going on. He's keeping record of what's going on. He knows what you said. He knows what the other guy said. He knows all the circumstances. And so David, being a man after God's own heart, is bringing God down in the equation and saying, look, God sees this. God knows my heart. God knows his heart. God knows what's going on. And God is the avenger, not me. And you say, well, what does this have to do with works and faith? Sometimes the greatest work we can do is do nothing. Right? Sometimes it's, Lord, you need to handle this. I'm not going to say a word. Amen? And the minute we do get in the middle of it, we have made a mess of things. And so, again, today's sermons is not about works. Now, when we think of a faith sermon, we think of David and Goliath, right? Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the army of the living God? We love those passages. We hear those passages. We say, yeah, David, I want to be a giant killer. I want to be like David. And then, who are you, you uncircumcised? I call everything an uncircumcised Philistine because I love 1 Samuel 17. Anything comes after me, who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistine? So, you know, we love those passages about faith, and then we hear something like this, and we go, oh, man, Brother Roger really got me down. I need to read my Bible. I'm not praying enough. I'm not doing this enough. I'm not doing that enough. But reality, this is faith. This is a message about faith. It has nothing to do with works in the sense that we think of I've got to do. It's really, okay, let me just go back and review. If I have true faith and my faith is visible, if I have faith, I have a prayer life. Because I have faith, right? If I have true faith, then the object of my faith is never about me, right? The Pharisee. If I have true faith, I read my Bible not because I have to, but because I want to, because he rewards those that are diligently seeking him. If I have true faith, I forgive people who offend me, and I don't hold grudges because I know God is listening. And if I have faith, there's times when I don't do anything, I turn the other cheek like David did because I know God is watching how I respond. He's watching my attitude. When I was in the Air Force, you know, there was this young airman that had no stripes or one stripe. And then there was those old senior NCOs that smoked cigarettes and had a belly. And, you know, and they would say about the young airman, that young airman's got an attitude problem. I remember one time I was parting my hair in the middle back in those days. I still do every once in a while. I guess I am today. But I have my hair parted in the middle, and every time I'd take these papers over to this lieutenant colonel's basket, he would say, don't put any marijuana seeds in there now. Because they had this schism that any airman who parted his hair in the middle was smoking pot, right? And I'd just gotten saved, and I told Major Moore, this is funny the first time, but it's not getting funny after that. And he talked to him, and the guy got in trouble. But the point is that there are people who have attitude problems, right? And we all know what that is. It's either a chip on their shoulder or anger or unforgiveness or whatever the case may be, rebellion. That was kind of probably the military version of an attitude problem, you know, rebellious young airman or whatever. But God, or as Paul said it, it should not be named among you, right? It should not be named among you. If I have faith, I have a prayer life. If I have faith, it's never about me. If I have faith, I seek God. So these principles are not made these principles are not to make you feel bad or guilty of whether you're reading your Bible or praying. We're all busy. What I've given us today is a self-check report card. Right? Think about it as a self-check report card. And what am I checking? My faith. Where is my faith at based on my works? See, that's what James says. You say you have faith. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. James is saying, if your faith is genuine, there will be some things in your life that you do that you didn't do before you got saved. And if you're not doing them, then your faith is dead without the works that accompany it. See, when you grasp what James is saying there in that passage, it should give you a little bit of holy fear that I did this self-check report card to measure the true value of my faith, and I realize I'm getting a C- on in this area. I'm getting a B+ in this area. I'm getting a D- in this area. And so, again, this is not to bring guilt or condemnation upon any one of us. It's, for me anyway, it's a good thing. Because I want to please the Lord, and I want my faith to be genuine. Jesus said in Luke 18 that he taught so that men would not lose heart, that they ought to pray and not faint. And then he ended it, and I love this, wherefore, when the Son of Man comes, which could be tonight, will he find faith on the earth? See, that one statement there bugs me. Because without a self-check report card, I can deceive myself and say, well, he will on me. But then when I look at it in light of what James said, and I use the report card that I gave you, then I find out again that maybe my faith in this area is a C-. I'm not wanting to sound redundant in what I'm saying, because we're ready to close. I'm just saying what Jesus said. When he comes, will he find faith in me? And before I answer that question with just a self-righteous yes, then I need to go down the report card and say, maybe this week I should exemplify my faith a little more in some areas. Maybe this week, since Jesus is coming soon, I should pray a little more. Not because Pastor told me to, because I believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or faint. I believe that. And so I accept the challenge, not of Brother Roger, of my own self scoring of my report card. And I, by the grace of God, this week, I'm going to mix a little works in my life a little more. I'm going to pray a little more. I'm going to seek a little more. So that when Jesus comes, he finds faith in me. Amen. Come on up, Miss Nola. Praise the Lord. As the Lord was leading me this week into this message, and the more he talked to me about it, and you know, it usually starts out as just a little thought, and then I go along, and then another little thought, and then another little thought, and then sometimes I'll drop a verse in, and all of this came from Luke 18, and then finally it ended where I began, in James 2. And I said, you know, Lord, I always hated to preach James 2 because I felt like it was a message of condemnation. And I said, now I understand James 2 better than I think I've ever understood him before, that it is really not about works at all. It's about the measure of my faith. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you today for your word. It's a mirror, Lord. It shines on our hearts and reminds us of the areas in our life that we need to be stronger. And James nailed it, Lord. Along with what Jesus' words, when the Son of Man come, will he find faith? And Lord, before we answer that question, help us all to take the check up from the neck up. And for those areas that we need to mix a little more works with our faith, and pray this week that we would do it better. For your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your life and satisfy your soul.
Praise the Lord. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a blessed week.